Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It is August 9th, 2023, on the day that we saw the 300th list in your boy, and we are officially retiring the name next Wednesday ahead of this AEW Dynamite post-show, 3 p.m. Eastern. You're going to see Fightful's The Hump from now on. I know our audience is just too excited about that, but by God, I want you excited about this show. I want you sending super chats and humper chats. That's humperchats.com. That's when you can send them anytime that you want before any show, whatever that may be. You can also send them here at youtube.com/Fightful. We're inching closer to 100,000. We are about 700 subscribers away from 100K. Please help get us there, my friends, because we got an awful lot going on. Over the past week, we dropped interviews with Gunther, with Cody Rhodes, with Lufisto, in case you heard about that one anywhere, Richard Holiday, Eric Young, just all over the place. I believe we were the only outlet to have a one-on-one interview with Cody Rhodes last week up in the stands at Ford Field. And it is not an interview that aged at all over the course of the last few days. So please check that out. Leave a thumbs up on this video. Get those super chats. Get those humper chats in. A very, very developing episode of AEW Dynamite. We've got Alex Pawlowski here. You can see him every Tuesday on the Post NXT show, but also over at FightfulSelect.com, which I will shill relentlessly at any given time. Just $5 a month. Alex, how you doing?
Good. I'm going to say good.
You really probably liked the outcome of this opening segment that we're going to jump into. In fact, guys, I was able to procure footage of Alex Pawlowski as the Jericho Appreciation Society broke up, and I'm going to show it to you right now. I was impressed with the talent that you possessed there, Alex.
Yes.
I found an alternate angle. Alex discovering the Jericho Appreciation Society split up. Alex, you seem to be pretty pumped by the fact that the Jericho Appreciation Society is no longer a thing.
Well, I'm not pumped that my boss has hidden cameras in my house. I got to talk to HR about that, but
what's up? Hey, here I am.
I feel like that's a very WWE thing. Yeah. Like, my boss is also HR. I feel like it's probably not the best thing. But then again, it's a Canadian company, really. So what am I?
Yeah, there you go. What's up, hey? Here I am.
this segment with everybody ditching Jericho for their own personal reasons is great in theory until next week when we have to wait a week for him to tell Don Callis to piss off. So then Will Ospreay and Jericho have a match at Wembley that I have no interest in. So this is great that the Yas is broken up, but if it is to position Jericho as, well, they all left me erroneously, like I wasn't actually going to turn my back on them, they just thought I was going to, and if they hadn't just kept interrupting me during the promo when I was going to tell them, listen guys, I know I've been really distant the past few weeks, but I want to stick it out with the Jericho Appreciation Society. If they hadn't interrupted me, I would have said, I love you guys, let's stick around. But they all interrupted me and then they left me there. So now I'm sad, but I can't go with Don Callis because something about that guy just rubs me the wrong way at this point in his career. So now he's the good guy with a broken heart, you know? So I don't have an interest in watching that Jericho every week.
One by one, each member of Yas explained why it is that they were hitting the bricks. And it finished with Sammy saying, like, you're my friend, and I appreciate you, and I've been with you since the very start, and maybe I'll be here after you figure this out. But we've given you an awful lot, and you haven't been giving back to us lately. You haven't appreciated our appreciation type of thing.
Yes.
And Jericho.
Even Hager left him, and Hager really liked that hat. So.
I mean, I can say this legit. Hager can thank Jericho for his job, legitimately.
That is very true.
From what I understand. Yeah. Matt Menard's promo I thought was good. He said that, you know, there's a reason why people that I really respect and came up with, like Kevin Steen and Eddie Kingston, think that you're a jerk, and now I see why. And I am ready to see a 2.0 tag team.
This is all great. Don't get me wrong. Jericho Appreciation Society breaking up is a good thing for AEW. It's a good thing for everybody in the group. I will reserve my full excitement for the dissolving of a group I never really liked until I see what is going to happen with the Jericho thing. I think it's going to be great for Garcia and Sammy and everybody else. 2.0, I think it's going to be great for them. This is excellent. We already saw that, like, they're not all splitting up and going their separate ways, because we had 2.0 out there with Anna Jay in the main event. So, like, I like that they're, like, splitting up, but they're all staying friends. They just don't want anything to do with Jericho. That's good. If this is to position Jericho as the forlorn babyface, I don't have any interest in that.
As people highlighted, Daddy Magic did miss his daughter's first steps for Jericho. Yep. Daniel Garcia killed it here. He just killed it. He was totally great.
Totally killed it. I loved it.
And I like that he did the Garcia thrust on his way out.
Yes, but in a different kind of thrusting.
And a very aggressive one,
very, very aggressive. But also, he was hurt.
Yes.
He felt betrayed.
He's so good. He is going to be somebody whose career we get to cover for like 20 years. Lord willing. So backstage, Jericho is approached by Don Callis, who says, you know, I really didn't mean to cause you any issues. Like, we've been friends for a long time. I was trying to rekindle our friendship, not harm another one. And he seemed sincere in that sense, which you always have to doubt it with Don Callis's character. Yeah. And Jericho goes, no, I've made my decision. Next week, you'll have my decision. And I agree with Tom LaValle's super chat. He says, nah, I say Jericho goes with Callis and Ospreay turns them down. Ospreay versus Jericho, if that's the match, let Ospreay work face.
All right.
In that environment, how could he work any other way?
No, in that environment, he's always going to get cheered. So it is very odd, this whole thing. It is, as of right now, Jericho joining Callis would be against everything they've been setting up. So that, like, we'll see how they justify it in the segment next week. But I'm willing to see how it goes for sure.
I mean, if Jericho is a babyface against Ospreay, it's going to be like the sickest execution, public execution viewing. It's just going to be people that are rooting for him to get his head taken off with the hidden blade. Sure. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, people are going to just be calling for his head because Ospreay there.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, man. Ospreay is about to be over to a level in which will fully set up his free agency over the next 6 months. Oh, man. It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad if he's a baby face there. Parker Hines says, sorry, I've been busy lately. Congratulations on 300. So humping excited. Well, thank you, Parker. I greatly appreciate that. And Jake Kohler says, 300 strong, but I missed earlier on. Best $5 in the business. We finally got the hump. Yeah, we did. The hump every Wednesday. Speaking of best $5 in the business, today, Fightful Select Alex, best $5 in the business, broke the news that November 18th, a Saturday, LA, the Kia Forum, AEW Full Gear, which means something will happen with Collision. Either it will be on earlier or a different day or whatever that may be. But your thoughts on going to LA? I'm personally pretty excited because if I do end up going, warm weather city in November beats Minneapolis.
Right. Yes. No, that's good. I like that. It'll be interesting because San Francisco got Revolution, and before that they hadn't done any West Coast stuff. So it'll be interesting how they spread out geographically all the stuff. I think that because they have a firm Chicago forever in September, like every All Out is going to be in Chicago, basically is what they've shown us. That it feels like they can branch out a little bit more. I love it. Their first thing in LA. That's great. I mean, it could be like with WrestleMania in Philadelphia that Michael Cole told us is the first time that WrestleMania is coming to the Northeast of America in 11 years, conveniently forgetting about the one in New York like 3 years ago. So who knows? I'm not really sure. That is interesting.
I saw that. I also saw the Young Bucks defeat the Hardys. Man, this is the best Hardys match I've seen. Well, I mean, I haven't seen a lot of Hardys matches in a long time.
That's true.
But this, like, you can tell that they always feel something special for the Young Bucks and see a lot of themselves in the Young Bucks, and they worked accordingly. Matt and Jeff worked their asses off. Worked their asses off for this match.
Yeah, they did.
There was one spot that I looked at and I was like, ooh, that's what you would call a rookie mistake in kayfabe, where Matt was just posing to the audience while Matt Jackson broke up the pin on his brother. But other than that, I thought this was maybe a pay-per-view quality match. Definitely if it was Young Bucks and Hardys at this stage of their career, but they put on a hell of a match. We'll talk about the post-match next, but I was happy to see this. You knew the Bucks were going to win. They had to win. Hardys, you know, they're at where they're at right now. But this was good stuff, I thought.
I thought it was better than I feared it might have been. Because, like, there was nothing in the world hotter than a Hardys versus Young Bucks match in, like, what, 2015, 2016?
2017, I think.
2017. Yeah. It's been a while. And those years have passed rapidly for the Hardys. And it does not feel like you're watching the same guys who were having those matches at that time. But they did what they could tonight. There was no stuff like where they extended themselves. You didn't see anybody take a bump and go, that his hip's gone. Goodbye, hip. Like that was good. And I actually really liked the nuance of the finish. Of Jeff Hardy going up to do something off the top, was a little whisper in the wind or whatever it is, and Jackson super kicking his ankle, so he fell back in a really awkward way off the top, which was the reason why he couldn't break up the pin on Hardy after the BTE trigger on Matt. That was a cool little sequence. This is good. Also, there's this thing that's out there now where the Guns have decided they're also the best brother tag team in history, so they want a piece of the Bucks, so that should be fun too on the road to All In.
Then after the match you got the Young Bucks and they just say FTR, and then they are summoned. These guys, you best believe they're there waiting for the answer to this challenge. They've been begging for this match. nonstop for years at this point.
Yep.
And we get the little back and forth, and it's set. And what a match to have set at AEW All In. Now, the tickets for All In are like at the point now where it's like, okay, first off, this is in 3 weeks. You got to start announcing matches. But this is where, you know, they're going to try to move some tickets with matches being announced. They're like, okay, let's see what we can get just out of the potential attraction. And as of today, 79,346 tickets distributed. They will almost certainly be over 80,000 distributed by the end of this weekend, I would say, but probably by next week. The estimated paid is 73,945. They are almost surely getting over 74 at this point. So, I mean, like, we're talking about, like, they're, you know, they're billing it as the biggest match of all time, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, the biggest show. Yeah. I think that, well, they also announced, don't forget, a couple other matches that are going to move tickets, especially in Great Britain. So those are going to do it. Next week, they're announcing what Kenny Omega is going to do. There's a bunch of stuff that has yet to be determined. And yeah, it looks like I would not there. I'm sure there are a few thousand people in that area who are like, I won't buy a ticket until you tell me what's on the card, mate. And then they had to wait. You know what I mean? And that's,
I'll tell you something that surprised me. I thought to get as many asses in there, they would just approve literally every media that applied. But somebody told me, hey, I got rejected for media. I thought they'd just be like, sure, buddy, come on in. Put another ass in the seat. I did hear from a WWE person as well who said that very much like we are of the belief that in attendance is ticket takers, is, you know, cashiers, it is janitors, it is everybody that is in attendance in the venue, everybody, not just getting tickets, etc. So AEW, if they want to artificially inflate it that way, or, you know, depending on which way you look at it, might not be artificial. It depends on your mentality of that as well. But I'm going to work to see if they plan on doing that, which I...
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Highly doubt I'll get an answer before, but Young Bucks and All In, man. Somebody says, So you need to have a backup plan if it rains or if it snows.
It's not going to snow in August.
It
might rain, but it's not going to snow.
Thoughts on Punk versus Joe at Wembley. Wish they wouldn't have done Punk and Joe a couple weeks ago. That did reduce some of the luster there, but Joe is like, oh, this can't end on a roll-up. And I'm sitting here thinking, that's a pin. Yeah, it can. Yeah.
I mean, Punk's Joe's
also Wembley has a roof.
Yeah. There you go. Joe's promo, because Joe's great at these things, sold me a ticket on why he wants it to happen. You know what I mean? Like, because he feels like, because those matches he had with Punk and ROH were like time limit draws in like 60 minutes. And just the idea that like, oh, you caught me. I guess you won the whole thing. Like, no, we weren't like at an absolute standstill. Like that can't settle it for now and always. So I understand why he says, I want another shot. It does feel like, because they're doing the Bucks versus FTR, that there's another part of that whole thing that is available for them to do at Wembley. And they might be holding that off until All Out or whenever. But like, there's a Punk and Kenny match. If there's going to be a CMFTR versus the Elite thing, you got to figure that that's in there as well. Punk and Joe, I feel like have another really fun match in them, because sure. I honestly love the way that whole match was laid out a couple of weeks ago. But I agree with you, that match happening a few weeks ago does kind of take a little bit of luster off of it.
Well, Bucks FTR is set. Very, very excited for that. And I'll tell you what the hell I'm excited for. Talking about this Rob Van Dam Jack Perry match, because I saw a tweet and they weren't wrong last week. And they said, you remember like 10 years ago when RVD came back and we just all kind of realized he didn't have it anymore? Well, he has Rey Mysterio'd by the looks of it, in that he came back and he had one of the best matches I've seen him have in a very, very long time.
Yeah.
And I think my favorite part of it, Alex, was the spinning leg drop to the barricade.
Oh, how could it not be that?
When Taz and Shivani were like, you could tell they were like, oh shit. That type of thing. Beyond the great frog splash that he did, Pantera walk. It was so much fun to watch this. And I mean, this is a guy who does not work regularly, but for 52 keeps himself in incredible shape. I think he's had two matches this year, and really he worked a little bit last year, but he went out and had a 10-minute match with Jack Perry, FTW rules. So it looks like it is their hardcore title. There were some cool table spots. He got hung up a little bit on the split legged moonsault, but still did the bounce back moonsault aspect of it, even when he got hung up on it. But I know one thing. Jack Perry is going to feel the repercussions of that leg drop for a few days.
It was as though it looked to me like he was like, well, haven't done this one in a bit. Let's make sure I get there. And so he jumped as far as he could off the apron and almost overshot it past the barricade. Like, he didn't need to jump that far, but he was just trying to make sure he had it. And
I hadn't wrestled on TV in 3 years.
Yeah, exactly.
And hadn't wrestled on TV in front of an audience, you know, outside of the Noah stuff, but like in America since like early 2020 with Impact. And I mean, let's be real. The crowds that they were drawing in a lot of those Impact things weren't great. This is his biggest stage on TV in quite a while. I'm sure there are some indie shows that have done pretty well. But I mean, 2014, we were watching him on TV and it was like, doesn't quite have it anymore. And I look at him now and I'm like, I don't think he'd be able to regularly do this.
No.
But I think if you put him on like the once a month, once every 60 days type of schedule. You could do some fun stuff there because people like him and want to like him.
Right. There is a line in every wrestler's career.
Sure.
And you come up right up against the line and you are at can still do 85 to 90% of the stuff you used to do passably well for like one match a month.
Yeah.
And that's where he's at. Once you cross that line, you're at, oh no, this is scary to watch. Let's not do this anymore. You know what I mean? Like, and that's where I don't want to have to watch RVD cross the line into trying to do stuff that he can't do anymore. He's 52. You know what I mean? Like he can still go reasonably well at his age with his bump card. Absolutely. But let's see him do it until he says, you know what?
I agree.
I'm good. Like, don't want to do this anymore.
Like Billy Gunn, you don't see him jackhammering people a lot anymore, even though he could probably get him up. He can still do a Famaster better than anybody. Jeff Jarrett can do everything that he ever did because it doesn't require a lot of that. But RVD, it is jumping, spinning, kicking people in the face, spinning and leg dropping people, launching himself into the air, split-legged moonsault. Then you got Sting, who's like, well, yeah, I can't do a lot of stuff, but I can just launch myself off of things.
Mm-hmm. And as a result, I will no sell a double super kit like a mother. Like I know what I'm doing. I know what my
Sting has had 10 to 15 good matches in AEW.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if he had that many good matches in TNA for like a decade. Like, so a wonderful shout was Jack Perry's pants. He had Jerry Lynn style tights on during this, which was very, very cool. I adored this match. I was kind of hoping it was going to happen at All In, but Michelle Tate says, what is up with the Beethoven theme for Jack Perry? Just why? Who picked that? Are the rights free or something? It's terrible. More importantly, is it ever going to change to the 90210 theme song? Help me understand, Sean. Yes, it is rights free. That is absolutely why it exists. Mm-hmm. It was not the first choice. They were working on licensing another song, a fairly well-known song that I'm working to like kind of get that confirmation on. I don't know if it would have necessarily fit him any better, but well, actually probably, yeah. A dog wrote this song, so yes.
Yeah, I know.
Absolutely. Right. Yes. This is a horrible theme song, and it was a very, very late decision as well. I wish I could help you understand why they did it, but it's royalty free and that's it. I want to see a public domain fighting game. Like I just want to see like Winnie the Pooh versus, you know, George Washington or something like that. That's what I want to see. I don't know if George Washington's public.
Who do you domain. Got? Who you got? Winnie the Pooh versus George Washington.
Well, Winnie the Pooh, because he's got that Blood and Honey movie, right? Now, if we throw Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter might mess him up.
Yeah.
But I think that would be a lot of fun. Darren Walker says, we need Jack Perry versus Bully Ray. They keep Jack versus old ECW wrestlers program. Yeah, sure. Then I can do an engagement tweet like Bully Ray when he's like, what dirt sheet writer really needs to get punched in the face? I'll be like, what ECW wrestler doesn't need to be on my TV?
Yeah, there you go.
We've got Tony Miller saying, if it rains, give me the Samoa Joe and a poncho. I got a roof.
Well, it's a roof over part of the seating, but not all of the seating and none of the middle. So yeah, it'll be a little different.
A reminder, guys, get in those super chats. Get in those humper chats. Leave us a thumbs up. I've got a very, very brief chat with Bailey coming up on Friday that you guys are going to like. Early notes on Fightful Select Thursday, and people been asking. I got some Bray news on Thursday, FightfulSelect.com. So, you know, go to bed tonight. Get your sleep. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you're good and rested. Mm-hmm. Get up tomorrow and enjoy your day with some Bailey news, with some Bray news. And Alex, I got the perfect way to help him get that sleep.
Oh, yeah? How's that?
HelixSleep.com/Fightful. The mattress that changed my life. Mattress is designed for everybody. I decided to invest in my sleep a few years ago, and I found Helix Sleep. I ordered their mattress. And I'll tell you more about how. But then I hit him up and I said, I would love to work with you. I would love for them to help other people that watch our show the way they help me. And they said, heck yeah, let's do it. And we've been with them ever since. I've had a Helix mattress at my last house and this house. And you can have it too when you use the code FIGHTFUL at helixsleep.com/FIGHTFUL. Plus, you get two free dream pillows, a $150 value. I've mentioned this in the past. Had a cracked vertebrae, broken neck. It was tough for me to find a pillow that fit. This one has changed my sleep, but so has Helix in general. I hopped online. I took their quick quiz. They matched me to the model that fit my sleep preferences. So I've got the Dusk Lux, but they have all kinds. They have ones that align your spine, ones for plus size sleepers, one if you sleep medium, firm, soft, any number of things, ones that cool you down even. It's a good time. Whenever you change the way that you sleep, you stay asleep longer. So my thing was I slept on my back. I couldn't sleep on my side. That has completely changed with Helix Sleep. And now I stay asleep much longer. I get that full night's rest. And when you go to helixsleep.com/Fightful, you're not only getting the mattress that GQ, Good Housekeeping, Fightful, Apartment Therapy, and Wired recommend, you're getting one that has 30,000 plus five-star reviews. They have a 10 to 15 year warranty, a 100 night risk-free sleep trial. I'm so excited to tell you guys about this. I'm just stumbling over my words. But you might say, you know what? A little too rich for my blood. No, it's not. They got financing as low as 0% available. Payment plans that fit everybody. Invest in your sleep. You are in that bed, ideally, at least one third of your life. So make sure it is a good one. HelixSleep.com/Fightful. The way I always put it is Helix is the sponsor that I use the most, and Nord is the one that that I use the most when I'm awake. I just got something very funny from AEW. That's cute. Speaking of cute, Adam Cole took MJF on a date to the trampoline park. Now, I am a big trampoline park guy. I love the trampoline park. It's a fantastic workout. MJF was not excited. Quite frankly, I moved to a city so I could be able to frequent arcades and go-karts and mini golf and trampoline parks and any number of things. More, you know, you recapture your youth. Alex, what's your stance on trampoline parks?
I'm not so great on the knees for me. I'm a larger fella. I'm not big on trampoline parks or bouncy house. I was when I was a kid, my daughter loves them, puts a smile on her face, so we like to frequent them. But I think it's a magical place. I just wish wish my knees were in better shape.
Well, then MJF changed his tune when he found out he could play dodgeball.
Yes. Yes.
And he just destroyed a bunch of kids. I do think the editing could have been a little more violent.
Yes, actually, it's true.
Yeah, they're talking about hitting kids in the legs and the shoulder. Like, come on. Just
face.
Right just, upside just, the head every time.
Right in the temple every time.
Every time. Adam Cole scolds him. But then a girl flips him off and he's like, you know what? You got one more. Mm-hmm. You got one more. Yep. I love it.
Yep. Yep.
Then, let's talk about the dodgeball skit. That's fun stuff. I'm really enjoying that. That was good.
Yeah. Well, even before the dodgeball started, which was gold, we get Adam Cole bouncing on a trampoline. I look at this guy bouncing on a trampoline, yelling to his best friend in the whole wide world, hey, buddy, look how high I can go. Look how high I can jump, with this big, dopey, golden retriever grin on his face. And all I can think is, there are people on my timeline advocating for this man turning heel on MJF via an anti-Semitic hate crime. And I'm like, come on. Can't we let these guys be good friends? And Adam Cole's so lovable. Come on. So yeah, no, I really love this, and I wanted to continue as long as possible, even though I know that the expiration date for this is at the latest All Out.
I saw Reg tweet something, and I don't think he's wrong. He said, even though he's the competition right now, he's on Denise's post post AEW show. Said Marty Jannetty getting thrown through the barbershop window was the worst thing that happened to tag team wrestling. Mm-hmm. And I was like, shit, you know what? That did kind of set the stage and like, there always got to be a turn. There's always got to be a turn. And New Day really put their foot down and they said, no, there doesn't have to be a turn. There doesn't. And Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes said, no, there doesn't need to be. Right. Really not. No. Doesn't have to happen like that. I even liked it. Yas. It wasn't some big violent feud. They just said, no, we don't like each other. I mean, not enough to the point to where we're going to brutally assault you. We're just a little hurt, so we need our space type of thing.
Yep.
I like that. I enjoy that. And then there, I thought the Ronda Shayna one was done fantastically to where nobody saw it coming.
Right.
I was there, and that was one of the most unique reactions of the night that saw John Cena come back. Mm-hmm. So I think that wrestling is getting a little craftier with this. And Tom LaValle says, with that little girl, Christian's daughter. People are implying that, but it wasn't.
No, it was not. No.
But it should have been. They should have got her involved again.
Why not? Why not? Recurring character. I love that.
So then Adam Cole and MJF come out to the ring, and I thought this segment kicked ass too. Adam Cole is like, oh, we got to hype up All In, and there's one way to do that. And MJF's like, promo battle! And he calls him Noodle Arm, says that he's so pasty and white that if Hulk Hogan saw him in the 80s, he would snort him. And Adam Cole's like, yo, what the hell?
Whoa.
Calm down. MJF is so good. He did the may God strike me down. Mm-hmm. Midwest is my favorite place. Yep. And he's like, type of thing.
Yeah, it was good.
He's really good at this. The gleefully abusive relationship with the audience is working really well. But no, Adam Cole doesn't want to promo battle MJF. He wants to challenge Aussie Open for the ROH tag team titles.
A few hours before they face each other for the AEW World Championship.
Yeah, and I got to say, this, first off, Aussie Open's got to be like, well, rad, first off. But two, this does incredible things for the ROH brand in general, which is begging some care to be given to that. Check out our post show every Thursday with Reg and Kate. But I mean, this, what does this say about the ROH tag team titles? Adam Cole put that over about as much as you could. He's like, yeah, I know I've got a world title match, but why don't we go after this title that I've never held and I really desperately want to do it, and I want to do it with you. I'm very, very excited about this. Before we get into the post-match, which, by the way, MJF is like, oh, you're some kind of sick pervert making me wrestle twice. I mean, hell yeah, I'm going to Wembley. I get to see two matches with these guys in it.
Yes,
the best of both worlds, them teaming and against each other. I'm like, hell yeah, hope neither one get hurt.
Yeah. Interesting. Very interesting to me. The Aussie Open versus MJF and Cole just in it of itself is going to be fun. Also, it's going to bring a crazy amount of eyes to the Zero Hour, which hopefully if you get all these people watching the Zero Hour that wouldn't normally be watching the Zero Hour, maybe a bunch of them will decide, you know what? Let's fork over some cash, watch the whole thing. Perhaps that's something that they're doing with this. I think that they probably wind up entering London as still the best of friends, thinking they're going to have we're going to respect each other in this title match because we're best friends. And then something's going to happen in this tag title match that's going to make them not like each other anymore, or at least a lot less, or whether they could trust each other or whatever. And there's going to be a lot of that, we don't know what's going to happen type of stuff added to the main event one-on-one match that this tag match on the Zero Hour is going to provide. Do I think they're going to win the ROH titles? No, I don't. I don't know how that would work, but I think it should be a lot of fun. The match will be great and it'll add a lot of, you know, intrigue to the one-on-one title match.
I think they might win the titles.
Wow.
I think they might win the titles, and you end Zero Hour on a high note, and I'll tell you why, Alex. Bill says, Roddy channeling Brando in Streetcar. Adam Weller says, I'll be it all in, but I'm commentating on a car race from home earlier that day. I thought I'd miss Zero Hour and not be upset. Thanks, other Adam. So, I think that they might win these titles and feud a little bit with the Kingdom and maybe Roddy, because Roddy comes out and he's like, you know what? The Kingdom were right. You're not my friend. First off, I want to know the kayfabe reason they keep flying Roddy in a neck brace around. What's Bryce Remsburg's problem? He does the travel there. What's his deal?
Well, we don't know. Listen, Roddy, as soon as you're cleared, you're going to have a title match versus OC for the international title. So bring your gear. And if you're wear your neck brace just in case. But if you're cleared, we can take off the neck brace and bring your gear, and you'll have that match for OC's title. I don't know. I have no idea why they keep doing it, but it is funny.
And then the Kingdom came out and embraced him.
Right.
We saw some dissension between MJF and Cole, and MJF was actually the voice of reason, despite, you know, I can relate to MJF. He's like, listen, just leave me alone, and I'll leave you alone in this situation. Mm-hmm. And Roddy won't leave him alone.
Right.
Roddy keeps whining. He went through this great promo, told him to go shake it off, which got a great chant.
Go
great
home, shake it off chant. Slam the door, lie in bed, start crying, listen to Taylor Swift. Yes.
Yeah, on your Hello Kitty pillow. Yeah.
Yes.
And Adam Cole gets in MJF's face. He's like, that's my friend. And then MJF is like, you know what? Just go check on your dude. We'll be all right. Him being the voice of reason. And it's so funny because, like, I remember the first time I saw the finger in the chest turn, and it was Jim Cornette and Yokozuna. Mm. And Yokozuna had been the biggest, nastiest heel for 3 years in WWF. And then when that happened, the crowd was like, oh, shit. Adam Cole was in the Cornette position here. Mm-hmm. The crowd was like, MJF's about to tear you apart, buddy. You better watch your shit.
Yeah.
This is so insane. This is so insane how this is working out.
Yep.
I really love it.
I think also Roddy has now teetered over the line from, I get it. Like, Roddy knows that MJF has never been a true babyface ever. He's always been lying. He's always been pretending. He's looking out for his guy, Adam Cole. And it hurts him personally because he can't, like, get involved physically because he's got a broken neck. But he's gone past all of that realistic, sympathetic thing to being almost this weird, absurd stalker thing being played for laughs. Him turning around and immediately burying his face in Matt Taven's shoulder to get a little consolation. This is good. We'll see where all of this goes. I think you might be right about the King. I think you're definitely right about the Kingdom feuding with MJF and Cole. I don't know if they need the titles to do that. To me, that would suck for Aussie Open because they feel like they just became champs and haven't really been given a chance to have. They would lose it. The titles in an angle that has nothing to do with them. And I feel like they deserve better than that. They're great. They'll have other runs with the titles, but they're great and deserve better than that.
Per WrestleTix, All In blew past the SummerSlam 92 European record of 79,127 for tickets distributed. Incredible.
Wow.
Mike Lima says All In's going to hump MJF, Adam Cole. I think it's clear we're going to see the mutual backstabbing with Adam and MJF clotheslining each other. Young Bucks versus FTR 3 is going to be epic at Wembley. Maybe Anna returns to heelish Dark Order to bully Stu. Ah, man, I don't think Stu's going to get bullied in this angle. I think that Stu is this within the context of what they're doing. This is a good opportunity for Stu, and it's a lot of what he wanted. He's getting a little more time and attention. They did wrestle ahead of tonight's AEW Dynamite on the ROH tapings, and Stu was out there ringside. I'm just happy that Stu is back in AEW and has been for a while, and is getting the opportunities to actually do stuff, because that guy is an incredible wrestler. He is just an unbelievable wrestler. I want to see him in against Orange Cassidy one day for the international title. Like, give me that.
Yep.
Rob Reed says, "You're so white and skinny. If it was 80s, Hulk Hogan would have snorted you." My God. What a great line. What a great line.
Great line.
Arzaw says, "The travel part is Roddy's workman comp." And Bill says that he needs Mark Sterling to complete the picture.
That would be nice.
Yes. Sawyer says, "A man not getting struck by lightning indoors got one of the biggest pops of the night. Max is having so much fun and it's contagious."
Yep.
When he won that title and they're talking about 2024, 2024. At times it really felt like, how are they going to stretch this out? How are they going to make this interesting and intriguing? And well, you have an all-time classic match with Brian Danielson, and that certainly helps. Then you get in one of the better storylines that AEW has ever had with Adam Cole. And the next thing you know, it's going to be September, and we're going to be heading down the home stretch of this 2024 gimmick.
Yep.
And MJF has had a phenomenal reign. He's just had a really good reign.
Yeah.
Orion Ben says, "I knew you were in trouble with that promo, Max." And Bizarro Big L says, "Anyone else feel like MJF is a big fan of the dodgeball scene from Billy Madison? RVD's spin drop kick ruled. I just love Taz on commentary. Thanks to him, Solo Jones is the only way I'll refer to being single. Thoughts on the ROH Zero tag match?" Well, personally, as somebody who's going to be there live, I am ecstatic for it. And also, I think it's a really smart way. Like, listen, it's going to put at least a few asses in seats. People saying, I get to see them twice.
Right.
And them team and them face each other. There are going to be some people. Now, my concern is them having an Aussie Open, Cole and MJF level tag match. And then turning around 4 hours later after being cold and then having a Cole and MJF level match, in which last time there were concerns that Cole was banged up afterwards. And as we've seen, MJF is going to make sure his shit looks good. What are your thoughts on the tag match being added?
I guess we'll have to see. Like, they've got everything laid out. It feels like certainly you could do an angle where a kayfabe injury costs them the tag match, but it's not enough to not call off the big match at the end of the night. But one of them comes into the match, you know, a little banged up, maybe hobbling, maybe a little bit of a tweak in the knee, and all of a sudden the other one's wondering, do I take advantage of my best friend here? There's some really cool stuff they could do with this. I trust them to figure out what that is and attack it in the exact right way. But this only provides, like I say, more intrigue for that big one-on-one match at the end of the night. Also, it's a great reason if you live on the West Coast of America to drag your ass out of bed before 9 a.m. on a Sunday and maybe get a little breakfast DoorDash to your house and sit there and watch Zero Hour. It is a weird time for a lot of people in this country to be watching professional wrestling. But listen,
and one of the biggest events in wrestling history.
Absolutely.
Completely separate of the tagline.
Yep.
So we've got, what else do we got? Oh, well, we're through the super chats, humper chats there. So go ahead and get them in, guys. Kenny Omega interview. Like, you know what? I'll tell you what I'm going to be doing next week. We're going to figure it out. And Alex Marvez is like, "Oh, can I get a scoop?" Huh? I'm like, he just told you he's next week, bro. Next week, bro.
Next week, I'll tell you when it is. But why don't you tell me right now on the air?
It is Die Hard 2 levels of, like, this is what a reporter does. That woman who just follows around. Let me get a story. I'll have your baby if you give me a story. I'm like, what are we doing here? Come on now.
Yep.
Come on now.
Yep.
Lucha Brothers interview, and then we get Mox and Claudio defeating the Lucha Bros. Now, they sold me a ticket pretty early on. I was like, damn, man, they're going to end this that early with the Yuta belt shot? But no, It does end with BCC winning. I am not that into this feud, although I did love the parking lot brawl last week. Mm-hmm. I'm not usually big on 50-50, but as it turns out, like 33-33-33 has kind of worked pretty well for me here.
Sure.
When adding in best friends. I'm still waiting for something super creatively satisfying to emerge for BCC ahead of All In. But yes. I'm wondering.
Yeah, they have succeeded while at different times putting over both the Lucha Bros and Best Friends within this feud. They have succeeded in at what appears to be the end of it. Presenting BCC as the most dangerous dudes on the roster. After pretty recently, they lost that giant feud with the Elite. Yeah. And since then, they've been nothing but murdering people. So, like, that's...
With forks.
Yeah, with forks. They murdered Pac so bad, Claudio did, in the match for ROH Death Before Dishonor, that later he had a grudge match with Gravity. And only after that match did his injuries with Claudio put him out past Wembley. So like that, those are that somehow Claudio has perfected delayed injuries that he's enabled to inflict on people. That is
man learned dim mock for the that's love
right.
of God.
Like, that's right.
You just fall over a few weeks later and you don't even know. I think that's what that dumbass fighting style is. Oh, this match was fine. It was fine. A little note from my interview with Gunther last week. I was like, man, you're known for chopping people. Who chopped you the hardest?
Yeah.
He said, Penta. He said, that son of a bitch took off. He didn't say son of a bitch. I did it to make my story sound better. He said, that son of a bitch took off his glove and did that. And he's like, it just cut open my entire chest. Wow. He's like, I won't say that it was the hardest or that it hurt the most, but it's the one that I looked at and I went, oh,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, I will say also, Claudio wearing Penta's mask is some kind of weird, like, creator wrestler thing that somehow makes sense.
And also, I mean, they did rip Penta's mask off to get the pin there, which is a trick I've always loved. Always loved that. Anthony Martin says the tag match wasn't officially announced, so maybe it doesn't happen. When will they announce All Out matches? Probably a little closer to this pay-per-view and probably a lot that week. But I don't think they're going to tease that match and not do it. They're not going to do that. That's
definitely happening.
Yeah. Swerve promo. I'll tell you what I loved about this. Columbus were like, yeah, felonious assault, breaking and entering Swerve's house. against a barely legal human being.
This is the thing about Swerve. He is so effing cool.
He is.
You have to root. You have to not root for him, but you got to respect him enough to do the Swerve's house bit.
Police bribery. Swerve's house.
They love, like, how do you not like them? This dude's so cool. Like,
oh, and
him strolling to the ring with that absolute murderer's row of just mercenaries. Yeah, it's great.
Imagine if Jannetty was this over with the stuff that he did. Are you kidding me? Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. Indeed.
So Darby calls AR Fox, whose facial expressions are great, by the way.
Yeah.
Calls Darby on his shit. Prince Nana, I just want to say, is incredible. Deserves his flowers. And the reason why he doesn't get them so much is that while he's being great at his job, he sort of fades into the background at the right times.
Yeah.
But Darby's like, you know what? I did try to call you. And you know what? You got here on your own. And if you're going to be mad that I tried to help a 17-year-old kid get here, well, cry me a river, build a bridge, get over it.
Sure. Right.
You've got friends. I've got friends. Lights off, lights on. It's Sting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And let me tell you, as I will say every single time, I will never take for granted getting to watch Sting perform. First wrestler I ever saw, Sting, Great Muta, Ric Flair. Fortunately, I didn't have to watch Ric Flair wrestle last year. I got to fly to Denise's wedding instead. I've got to watch Sting wrestle multiple times, and this coffin match is happening. Swerve sold the belt beat down just incredibly as well.
Yes. Also, we're getting this is a faint. I mean, it's not full Joker Sting makeup, but there's definitely some Joker Sting smile there. So the idea of all of my disbeliefs must be suspended, and I'm fine with that because it's Sting. Sting is the closest thing that AEW, maybe all of wrestling, has to a bona fide superhero, because that man will fly whenever he decides he's going to fly. He's going to do some ridiculous stuff off of very high places, but also he's impervious to pain. And also his bat might as well be Thor's hammer. Yeah. He was in there with five men and a bunch of them ran away, and he hit much bigger men than him with one bat shot, and they went flying out of the ring. He's a superhero.
Exit velocity on that. We're talking about launch angle. We're talking about all these metrics that all these other 60-year-old wrestlers didn't care. They didn't get with the Bill James stuff. They didn't play Moneyball. Sting played Moneyball. He learned the stats you need. He worked on his swing, and he's still around as a result. Yep. Coy says, wonder when Eddie comes back. Eddie versus Mox at All In? Possibly. Possibly. That would be kind of cool, too.
That would be a really great thing to do. I mean, especially if Santana's healthy and we can, and Ortiz is around and we can get LAX versus BCC, that would be pretty awesome.
Zach Barber says, riddle me this, riddle me that. Who's afraid of Sting's black bat? Everybody, apparently.
Everybody in the ring.
Like, I know he's particular about it being very protected, too.
Yeah.
Vicky says, hi, boys. Sting, super happy. Want him unhurt. Me too. I'm glad that he's back.
But here's the other thing about this. Swerve is, again, super over. He's an absolute vicious heel. To me, he's right on the precipice of a little nudge, and that dude's one of the biggest, absolute biggest stars in the company, and needs to be a top champion in this company. And along the way, if in a blood feud with Darby, one guy just basically say, we're taking out Sting. It might take all of us because he's a superhero, but we're taking out Sting. Swerve is the guy to do that. Like, that would be a really cool rub for him to get. It would make sense with his character and the feud with Darby. This coffin match might be an opportunity because it's just 2-on-2, but he's got the whole Mogul Embassy behind him. So it might be an opportunity for Sting to get taken out by Swerve and Co. In this feud with Darby.
We've got more super chats here. Zach says, what's Sting going to jump off at Wembley? Any thoughts?
The London Eye. Like, who knows how tall that thing is going to be when he jumps off of it?
I went in the London Eye when I went to London. It was a good time. Yeah. Della Common says, come on, Sean. You're as a Kentuckian and me as a Hoosier. We know both the Ohio is about that life. Yeah, but listen, it's usually right across the river. It's not usually that far up. It's usually next to the water when people act a fool there. Kentucky, too. I'll say that. You get around Newport. Oh, buddy. Mm-hmm. Oh, buddy. You might get your ass beaten in an aquarium there. Irene says, have Eddie return from G1 and fight Mox at All In. The story is he's trying to get his best friend away from Claudio and turn him babyface again. I think Mox and Kingston would be a really, really good match to add to All In.
It would be big. Yeah.
And it's probably going to be a 234-hour show. So, Matthew Hooks, do the Kingdom screw MJF and Cole out of the match? That's possible.
That's certainly possible. Yeah.
But I feel like, I mean, one or two things. You sell pay-per-views on the back of, oh my God, they won the tag titles. This is interesting. Or are they turning on each other? This is interesting. Right. One of those.
Yeah.
Drew Nicholas, who does our moderating for the AEW Collision show, says, my prediction based off of what happened is the Kingdom interfere in the tag match. Roddy interferes in the world title match by ripping off the neck brace to distract MJF. And Cole hits MJF with the AEW title. Same shot as the end of the AEW tag match. Ooh, could you imagine if MJF lost that? I mean, that so much of the 2024 stuff depends on him being a heel at the time of 2024. Mm-hmm. But like, I think right now everybody just kind of knows the guy's staying.
Right. We all know he's staying. Yeah. And perhaps that's the reason that they've pivoted in this direction is that it's nobody really thinks he's going to leave. So I think that's an interesting one as well. I can't help but think to me, this the whole thing, it just until I see it, because I know for a fact that MJF's whole deal is he gets close to being that thing. And then for some reason, something happens that he believes again that he is unworthy of love. And that's why he will push away all anybody who actually is close to him, because he believes he should be the bad guy. And until he actually makes that step, I won't believe it until I see it.
Well, no matter where you're watching All In, you can get the best deal with NordVPN.com/Fightful. We got a great deal for you at NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can get overseas services by changing your virtual location with just one click. I'll be flying over there, and I'll want to stay safe and secure on that public Wi-Fi at the airport, at restaurants, at hotels, at the venue. And NordVPN works on all my devices, phone, laptop, desktop, PC. I don't know if they're going to have a media room. I don't know if they're going to have me in the stands. So I'm going to have a lot of different devices there with me to check it out. When I'm here, I put it on my router. It protects all my devices, even my smart TV. And you can manage up to 6 devices on 1 subscription as well. Check it out. It's one of the most versatile sponsors that we've got. It does so many different things, and it's going to end up saving you money on a subscription. It's been put over by Wired, Huffington Post, BuzzFeed, Forbes, TED, BBC, all that good stuff. You can listen to all your favorite shows abroad, shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourself on the public Wi-Fi, secure every device you own, and add extra layers of security to your digital life with NordVPN.com/Fightful. And maybe you say, you know what? I've tried VPNs, don't know exactly how to use it or what to do. They have 24/7 support for you as well. So they'll tell you how to use it. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Women's All In match is set. I thought they did a really good job.
Well, sort of. It is. It's not, but it is.
It is. It is. Sort of masking this because it appears there's going to be one women's match on All In.
Yep.
But they were pretty clever about it. They're like, well, this is the spirit of All In. There was a women's match on All In. It was a 4-way. Mm-hmm. And at that time, it certainly looked like Tessa Blanchard was destined for great things. Deonna Purrazzo was originally announced for that match. She ended up being out of it. Mm-hmm. Britt Baker has clearly gone on to great things. Chelsea's career was derailed a little bit, but went on to great things. Madison Rayne was sort of the veteran in that match, and she returned tonight, by the way, as Fightful Select said that she would be heading back. However, that ain't it. Fightful Select also reported today, Bunny is cleared. She was announced for a match, and here's the way it's going to go. You had to qualify to get in. Tony Storm said, no, about that, I'm exercising my rematch clause. I'm just going to go do that. Britt Baker is wrestling Bunny next week on Dynamite.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Saraya on Rampage, which, hey, you know what? Put some eyes on Rampage. Saraya, objectively probably the biggest star in the company on the women's side, takes on Sky Blue. It is very, very clearly going to be Sheeta, Baker, Saraya, and Tony. And this is actually something that I had speculated a while back. Like, it makes an awful lot of sense. Your 4 top stars in that company that are there right now, because Jade ain't there, Rosa ain't there, Chris has got the other title, Athena's got the ROH title. You got your 4 biggest stars poised for this, Alex. Sheeta beat Anna Jay after this very awkward finish, but they're clearly putting some trust in Sheeta, main eventing 2 weeks in a row on Dynamite as champion. I'm excited to hear your thoughts on literally all this, Alex.
I would have liked to have had different people in the tournament. I mean, I think it's great that Bunny is back, but she's back for after such a long time. Why is she in a tournament to get in a title match?
Sure.
She hasn't won anything. She like it, but it doesn't matter because we all know Britt Baker's going to beat whoever she faces in this tournament. Yeah. So I guess it doesn't matter, but
and
whatever.
She should from a star perspective.
And absolutely. And I totally get that. It's also for the story. It's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And then you have Saraya, who we all know is going to have some kind of match at Wembley, obviously, but Sky Blue lost to Anna Jay last week, which is the reason Anna Jay had the match tonight versus Sheeta. Why is Sky Blue in the tournament? Why is Willow Nightingale not in the tournament? Yeah. There's all these people who have like big time matches and wins recently who aren't in the tournament. I don't love that. But also, I feel like you can't. It's so weird. Why do you already booked Sheeta versus Anna Jay? Like Sheeta's in the match. She's the champion. The idea that the champion has to beat a challenger to get into the other championship match seems so awkward. There could easily have been another match or I'm not really sure, but it just felt weird.
To your point, Bunny has not won a singles match on Dynamite or Rampage in like 2 years.
Yeah.
And I mean, again, she's fine. She's a good performer, but
we also
make it make sense.
Yeah, we all know who's going to be in the match after you show us the bracket. Just announce the match. The matches to get in the two matches now to get in are fine.
I do understand like adding qualifiers to make more of your show make sense, though.
And if the qualifiers are going to be there, the people who are in those qualifiers should have basically qualified to be in the qualifiers by having any victories recently. But
yeah.
But also, I think this is going to be good. I like basically you just give a bye to Toni Storm to be in there. Fine. And Sheeta's in there. Yes.
It's kind of funny that like the champion doesn't get a bye.
The champion doesn't get a bye into the title match, but the challenger gets a bye into the title match. Whatever. The four way is the right move because it has all the story of the Outcasts thing. Toni Storm wants her title back that she recently lost to Sheeta. Britt Baker is, you like it or not, for some people, your top female star in the company. Mm-hmm. This is what you're doing. It makes perfect sense to me.
The end of the match was kind of awkward. Like Sheeta won with the spin move, and then
yeah,
I was like, okay, all right then. Sure. But Sawyer says Humper Dynamite, Rob Van Dam, MJF beating children with dodgeball, all in builds, cramming the women into a single four-way on the card is a bummer, though. Hope Stat gets a match. I mean, I think they should do a Statlander match as well. I don't see it as cramming in four people on that. I think it's appropriate. You get four nations represented too. Saraya was not going to be in a one-on-one match on this show, but also you got to get Saraya.
She's on the show and she's in a big spot and she's wrestling at Wembley. You had to do that. This is the way to get that done. I would love to see Statlander get a title match at Wembley as well. She deserves a match at Wembley. But I think she's definitely getting a big time match at All Out a week later. We have to remember there's another gigantic show they're booking right now behind the scenes that happens a week after Wembley. So there may be a bunch of people we would like to see on the All In card who won't be, but will have a major spot at All Out a week later.
Guys, last call. Get in your super chats. Get in your Humper chats. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. It would mean an awful lot. And make sure you subscribe. We are getting closer and closer to 100,000. I can't believe it. Sawyer says, not to get off topic, but this is the second week in a row there was a mention on this stream of Santana and Ortiz. Did I miss something or are fences mended? I don't know what you mean about on this stream. I don't know if I mentioned it.
Maybe Alex did. I did. I mentioned it because I would like to see it. I don't have any inside info. I would like to see them mend fences and team with Eddie Kingston against BCC. That's all I'm doing.
I would too. I think that would be appropriate if BCC versus those three, I think, would be really great. And, you know, you would have to explain Eddie Kingston whipping Ortiz's ass.
Yeah.
But you can't explain that. There are ways. It's scripted.
Yes.
It ain't real. So you can do that. But I think that would be incredible. And I hope so. And I hope that this time off has shown Santana and Ortiz they're better together than apart in that situation.
Yeah.
Alex, tell the people where they can find you. I know it's FightfulSelect.com, and I know there's a whole bunch of good news over there. Just $5 a month.
Yes, indeed. You can find me on the X at Alex Sour Graps. The SGS, the Sour Graps Society, has a Discord now. You can find that somewhere in the Twitter. So there's a lot of fun over there as well. Mondays reviewing Raw on Five Select with Kate Fabe, Miss Kate Fabe, and also we do it as well on Tuesdays NXT reviewing that thing, and then Fridays we usually try and do a Rampage watch along while talking about SmackDown. Big intrigue on SmackDown. Jimmy Uso acknowledging the Tribal Chief once again, which makes no sense. That's great. We're going to be doing that. And then Collision, big time Collision this week. Might do another show then, depending on what it looks like.
Allow me to sell you guys on Fightful Select in about a minute. Last week, we broke the news that RVD was coming to AEW. We had details on the length and a lot of the discussions about Elite's deals. We confirmed Dark Order's contract length. We had the Lufisto interview up early for all subscribers. We had why Trish and Becky was pulled from SummerSlam. We had news on LA Knight, Slim Jim, all that. Kalisto and Impact news. Details behind the stipulation rumors for Cody and Brock. We had the early notes for all of our interviews. Gunther, Cody, Richard Holiday, all up there. We had SummerSlam match order and producers. We had Randy Orton updates, confirmed that he was not going to be at SummerSlam. We had SmackDown and Raw plans and producers. We had confirmation that Becky Lynch was not in Detroit for SummerSlam. We had Cody Rhodes talking about why he stopped appearing on BTE. We had constant updates on who was and wasn't in town for SummerSlam. We had the story. When will Roman Reigns lose the title? Whenever he and Paul Heyman want. And it's got a lot of details in there as well. Tons of news on Io Sky, Becky, Trish, Vince, Moose's new Impact deal. Details on that. News behind some recent WWE top merch sellers. That's going to be updated very soon. Eric Young talking about leaving WWE and why that happened. Richard Holiday opening up to us about lymphoma, MLW, AEW, WWE. Nick Aldis, Bobby Roode news, Jeff Jarrett, and WrestleQuest game news. As I mentioned, the Raw plans as well. Roman Reigns injury updates, Sami Zayn updates. My God, what else? Bunny getting cleared and the Full Gear location. That is in the last week, and I didn't even touch the podcast that we do over there. $5 a month, you'll get this directly to your phone, not from a secondhand engagement account that when you ask, hey, what's up with this? They can't answer you because they don't know. We will get the answers for you as best we can. Arza says women's division needs more mid-carders who can credibly pull off a good match. We can also take some losses to help the card remain cohesive. Yeah, you need to have as many people over as possible.
Yes.
That way, whenever they lose to these people, it's not like, oh, well, there they are. They haven't won a match on Dynamite in years. That way it means something whenever it happens.
Agreed.
Guys, thank you all so much. Until next time, we're out.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.